When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
All of a sudden, we've got debate up top of the NFL draft board, and we've got somebody getting back to their old ways. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. How are you on this Thursday, Joseph Fortenbaugh?
Aerodynamic. Got the eyebrows waxed today. Every four weeks, we bring them down. We bring them in lean, mean, tight, fighting machine. Very aerodynamic today. I'm ready for a fast show.
So you go full wax as opposed to just getting it trimmed through on your eyebrows?
I'm not really sure how to answer that question.
You get your eyebrows waxed. That's what you said.
Yeah, they wax and then they come in and they pluck some areas and they trim some areas. So they're doing a little bit of everything.
Okay. See, me, I just go trim, maybe a little shave right down the middle when we start to work toward a unibrow, but I do not go wax on the eyebrows.
Okay. Maybe
you
give it a shot.
Being a little more high maintenance, I understand. Plus, you're certainly in front of the public a whole lot more than me, and I think we can be thankful for that.
Well, I'm accustomed to the finer things in life.
This
she brings out the scissors. I say, get the wax. Let's do it up. Let's do it up nice.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We have got so much to get to, including the tournament picking back up tonight in the Sweet 16, including Major League Baseball opening day. Boog Shambi, Jeff Passan, both slated to join us. We also have more on the NFL draft with some eye-opening comments from Lewis Riddick. We will have more on that in just a bit, but we start right here.
And Curry called for the foul. And we have a technical foul on Draymond. Because everybody came out tonight to watch the whistles blow. Well, Draymond Green was ejected during the timeout. Because Fennessy Ransom and Ray Acosta, instead of being like an old school official and move away from the guy who's upset, no, they stayed close to him and kind of talked with him. And as a result, Draymond gets ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds in.
Well, if you couldn't tell, that was the hometown call on 95-7 the game in San Francisco, Joe. Draymond got ejected, but when you listen to Steve Kerr after the game, there was really no debate as to why he got ejected. Let's listen to a little Steve Kerr.
Too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. He'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench. Had a big game for us. Guy made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Joe, my initial reaction was it happened 4 minutes into the game. Did Draymond just want the night off?
It's a fair question. It's a Honestly. Fair question because as you're watching it play out, you're like, what's happening here? Like, yeah. We've all lost our temper and our cool at times. What is happening there 3 minutes into a road game at Orlando against the Magic? Is there some bad blood with the Magic we don't know about? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he's just having a bad day overall. What I know is that he returned from suspension 72 days before that ejection. 72 days he made it before there was another incident. And I understand this wasn't punching a guy. I understand it wasn't kicking a guy in the groin or anything like that, but once again, demonstrating the inability to keep your cool and keep your composure. If this is November and you're projected to be a top three seed, all right, maybe it's not the end of the world because those games, even though they count for just as much as these do, are deemed a little bit more meaningless. But this team is fighting for its playoff life. Houston won again last night. There's a very realistic chance that the Warriors not just miss the actual playoffs, miss the play-in. And that's what you have to be worried about here because that wasn't at the top of Draymond's mind last night coming off that win the night before against Miami. He was at the top of his mind, once again putting himself before the team. That has been a problem in the past. It's a problem in the present. I have to imagine it'll continue to be a problem in the future.
Well, it's a problem in the present, and it's a bigger problem in the present than it has been in the past. And the reason is the Warriors' margin for error is just nowhere near what it used to be. Look, we understand what the ability of Draymond was to get under people's skin that would help the Warriors, help their own energy, and help what they were doing. But now when you lose the player, the Warriors don't have the weapons that they would need to be able to overcome that all the time. Now, granted, it happened last night, and that was Steph. And boy, the Steph reaction is really the thing that sticks out for me when I watch the whole thing unfold.
It's everything you need to know.
When you saw how aggravated he was with the entire situation, wow, it blew me away.
Well, you've got the big question now as this team moves forward, because they're not competing for anything this year. They might get in, but they're not a serious threat. What's going to be the future for this franchise? Steph Curry is, what, 36 years old? What are you going to do moving forward? Because they have a big question they have to ask themselves. Do they want to continue to pay the legacy act? Do they want to pay Draymond and Klay and, to an extent, Andrew Wiggins and keep them around because those guys played a huge part in the dynasty? Do they want to continue to pay him as the reward for everything they've done in the past? Or do they want to say, look, we don't have many years of Steph Curry at peak top 10 NBA player level left. Mm-hmm. We've got to maximize this while we have it. And I think they're getting closer and closer to the point where they realize they got to rip the Band-Aid off. And it's not, well, we'll keep Draymond and move on from Klay, or we'll keep Draymond or keep Klay and move on from Draymond. Just part ways with all of them. Blow the thing up, get what you can in return, and try something different with the final years of Steph Curry. Because I'm going to tell you something. 25 seasons have passed since Michael Jordan's last year in Chicago. 25 seasons. You know how many times the Bulls have gone to the playoffs in those 25 seasons? 12. You know how many playoff series they've won in the 25 years since Michael Jordan left? 5. The Bulls have won 5 playoff series in 25 years post-Michael Jordan. The farthest they went was a conference finals, 2010-2011 season. They lost 4-1 to the Miami Heat. Steph Curry's not coming around again. This is a once-in-a-generation hit for you. You'll have other great players throughout the course of your franchise, but you'll never have another Steph Curry. You owe it to him, you owe it to the franchise, you owe it to the fan base to put the best, most competitive product out there. And right now, Draymond Green is not that guy. Because Draymond Green, it used to be, well, that's Draymond being Draymond.
Yeah.
And because they were winning, and because he was winning Defensive Player of the Year, and he was on all NBA teams, that was okay. People tolerated it. He doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year anymore. He's not on all NBA teams anymore. He's not doing what he used to do, yet he still causes the same level of headache. That scale's tipping against him right now, and as a result, he's not as valuable to the organization as he used to be.
And quite literally, as we've been talking, we just got some sound in from Draymond, of course, on the Draymond Green Show podcast, because he didn't speak to reporters last night. Save it for the podcast. Good business move on his part.
Smart.
And naturally, we're going to play some of that sound. Here is Draymond on getting ejected last night.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. And, you know, that, like, we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh, man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule.
No. I'm sorry. That crap doesn't wash anymore. No. You don't know where you are. You don't know what you're doing moving forward. And your words mean jack squadouche. They mean nothing when that is your action last night. Your team needs you in the worst way. You're lucky that 30 bailed you out, which, by the way, has happened plenty of times. What an absolute disgrace on the part of Draymond Green, who's trying to convince everybody that he's gotten help, that he's gotten through all this stuff. I'm sure he has. This was not a physical or violent altercation, and he said something he shouldn't have said. But that's part of it. That's part of controlling yourself in a situation where your team needs you and you get thrown out 4 minutes into the game. You don't understand anything. You can say after the fact that you understand everything, but you don't understand a damn thing.
I'll say in his defense, everyone else keeps enabling it. It's how much
can absolutely.
How much can you really put on him? He has been this way from the beginning. He's made it very clear he is going to be him. He's not going to change. That has been crystal clear from the beginning. If you continue to employ him, you continue to put him out there and these things happen, you hear it from Steph Curry, you hear it from Steve Kerr. Yeah, they're disappointed. They know he can't do that, but they're not really going to go on long rants and tirades about it because they're enabling it. They put him out there. So at the end of the day, there's only really so much you can demonstrate in terms of anger or frustration because they seem to be okay with it. They put him out there every night.
Did you see Steph's response? That did not look like somebody that was okay with it anymore.
Yeah, but what's he going to do about it? Let's ask, what's he going to do? What is he going to do to change that? It's been a decade of this, Carlin.
I understand. But earlier this year, we had the whole hubbub about him going away and getting help and stepping away from the game, and all of that was fine, okay? But what I saw last night was a superstar that before could deal with it, but then looked like somebody that had clearly outlined with his team what we can and what we cannot do and what the message has been time and again. And that looked like a guy that saw Draymond once again not listen to the message. Whereas before, it could be tolerated, it can't anymore. And my guess is that that had been communicated to Draymond many times. And it's just, listen, maybe I shouldn't get this frustrated considering who it is, because when people show you who they are, you should believe them. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Yesterday, Lewis Riddick came on this show and had some comments that blew us away. If you missed them, you'll hear them next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Here's what we have to understand about Jaden Daniels. He's going to be a top pick because of his play on the football field.
So that I'm the guy, you know, they're going to do everything in their power to make me successful. And then from there, you know, it's about me putting in the work. You know, I bet on myself every time.
I want to see how teams walk away, specifically at the top of the draft, in the comfort and his ability to take some of those shots.
If I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one?
Lewis Riddick yesterday on this very show was at Jaden Daniels Pro Day. And I want to remind you that Lewis Riddick is a former director of pro personnel. He is a front office veteran. And he is somebody that has been talked about for GM jobs in recent years. And
also very well dressed.
Exceptionally.
Would like to get that in there.
Well, I think that also speaks to a details guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Buttoned
Here's
up,
the thing.
Literally, figuratively.
Knows his stuff. Boom. And when I hear this yesterday, I don't know about you, but when he said this to us yesterday about Jaden Daniels at his pro day, I was blown away. Hit it, man.
If I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one? Because for me, look, I got to see both him and Caleb now back to back. And I love talking to Caleb. And I love the way, you know, he kind of contextualized everything that's going on with him right now. And with Jaden, the same way, just so composed, so mature, has a great sense of where he still needs to go and what he needs to work on. The way he got around with his teammates today, this kid is special. This kid, for me, is QB1. And I think talking to the people around here who were here at this workout, where there was darn near every team was here today, I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, he may just be QB1.
Wow. And then, so Joe, last night, I did a little digging. I've been obviously preparing for the NFL draft here on ESPN Radio, which is coming up at the end of April. And I talked to a friend.
I don't know if that passes the smell test. You're prepping this far out?
Oh, absolutely. This is a behemoth. The big fella is not going to be left without comment on a fifth rounder that needs to be commented on. You will get the requisite analysis that you need.
I will have height, weight, and 40 time ready immediately for every name announced, all seven rounds.
Exactly. 40 time, maybe not. But anyway, here's the point. Last night, I'm doing some digging, and I'm talking to different people that I know around the league, and I'm talking to one, and I made this comment that, hey, Lewis Riddick said this today. What do you think about this? And here's what he said. Quote, a lot of people I respect say that you have to look at that between Jaden and Caleb. That it is absolutely a very fair comment to make. And this is from somebody that probably leans more toward Caleb because, as he put it, Caleb is a magician. He does things that other people can't. But Jaden has played a lot more true quarterback. He's gone through the process reads. Like, I think maybe there is going to be, over the next couple of weeks, some real debate, whereas there really doesn't seem to have been debate recently.
I can assure you that debate will not be taking place inside Hallis Hall. We can have that debate on radio. We can have that debate on TV. We can have it in the bar room. We can have it in the car. We can have it on the golf course. It ain't happening in Chicago.
Why do you think that?
Because of the idea that people don't want to be wrong. And what I mean by that is the Bears would probably be would rather be wrong with the public than right out on their own island. Go back to 2006. Perfect example of this. Charlie Casserly is the general manager of the Houston Texans. Everybody is clamoring for one of two players to go to the Houston Texans. Either Reggie Bush, who was coming out of USC and was a sensational player, or Vince Young, who is a sensational player in his own right at Texas and also played his football at Texas, right? Those were the two names everybody in Houston wanted, and Casserly went out and took a pass rusher out of NC State named Mario Williams. Now, you fast forward 5, 10, 20 years, whatever you want to do, Casserly got it right. Mario Williams was the best pro of those three players. But it didn't matter. Casserly eventually lost his job because everyone thought that was such an outrageous selection given what he passed up on. Young didn't turn out to be a great quarterback. Bush was a good running back in the NFL at times, but he was inconsistent and he wasn't better as a pro than Mario Williams. Point being here is that if you're Ryan Poles and you're the Chicago Bears, you're going to examine Jaden Daniels, but there's no way you're taking Daniels over Caleb Williams. Because even if it's the right move long term, the public pressure and the consensus opinion that's out there amongst the masses whose opinion shouldn't matter at all, that opinion is Caleb Williams. And you will be deemed to have made the wrong pick. And every little misstep for Jaden Daniels after that point and every positive step for Caleb Williams after that point is going to be just you signing your own death sentence as the general manager of the Chicago Bears.
Okay, so Ryan Poles is not going to be Kevin Costner in draft day Vontae Mack no matter what.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh, you have?
Well, I've never seen the movie. I'm sure that's a great analogy. I'd like to give you credit
regardless.
It would
be, but it's not even a good movie, so I'm not going to tell you to go see it. Anyway, I would disagree just from this standpoint. And I'm not going to sit here and bang the table for either guy. I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm smart enough to tell you what the difference is between the two.
Going to need some mind-altering stuff to make that happen.
Exactly. I would say that when you have two guys who are both quarterbacks, and all of a sudden you have some hype that's going around another individual, I don't know that that pressure that you're talking about is as much there. And the pressure is from all of the hype that has been coming from Caleb all along. But if you're going to throw another quarterback into that mix, and the consensus around the league seems to be like, yeah, these two guys are both very, very close. I don't know that fans are going to be screaming and yelling at him if he decided to go Daniels. If it was another position, oh, dear God, that would be a nightmare.
How many people in Chicago or anywhere else, fans, actually are of the opinion that Williams and Daniels are close? You have to remember, these people, myself included, I have to try to shake this. We have been programmed for more than a year that Caleb Williams is, quote, generational. We have been programmed that he's number one, that it's not up for debate. It was him and Drake May, him and Drake May, him and Drake May. And then Daniels crept into the picture and maybe we put him above Drake May, but and this is not a knock against Lewis. I trust Lewis's opinion, Dan Orlovsky's opinion. Like, they know what they're talking about. This is just the opinion of the masses. They don't see that. There's no one in a bar room anywhere having a conversation saying, I think Daniels is better than Williams. We've all been programmed a certain way. Breaking that programming between now and draft day, it ain't happening.
I tell you, it'd be amazing just to see that there was really true debate. And I'm sure that the Bears will keep their cards very close to the vest here. I tend to agree with you that ultimately it's going to be Caleb Williams because of all of the talk that's been around it. If the Bear fan becomes more educated on Jaden Daniels, and I don't mean sitting and watching tape, I mean going and looking what the numbers were, then all of a sudden maybe there's a little bit more talk about it.
Yeah, but that's on us. That's on media members. The only reason people are brainwashed into thinking Williams is the best player and that he's generational is because of us. We've had TV shows and radio shows for more than a year telling everyone that. Now, with a month to go, we're going to start a new narrative. Hey, Jaden Daniels actually better than Caleb Williams. The same people and the same networks can't do that and then get the trust of the audience. The audience is going to say, because the audience isn't stupid, you've been telling me Caleb Williams for over a year. Now with a month to go, you're telling me it's suddenly Jaden Daniels? I haven't seen any of these guys play football in months, and suddenly Jaden Daniels has gotten past Caleb Williams. Explain that to me. And the explanation's just not going to be good enough. It doesn't mean it's not true. Jaden Daniels could go on and have a far better career in the pros than Caleb Williams. That could certainly happen. But you're not going to be able to convince the masses that all of a sudden, at the last second here in the bottom of the ninth, a new quarterback has emerged after a year and a half of commentary about one guy. It's just not going to happen.
Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits, go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. Look at what Joe just did. Look what he did. You know what he did? He set us up for a tease about baseball with his little bottom of the ninth comment right
there. How about
that? Look at you.
How about that pure stroke of luck?
Look
because
at
that
you.
Was not what I was aiming for.
That was not luck. Admit it. Just let it. Let everybody know that you actually know what you're doing.
Listen, the idea that I have any idea what the conversation is in this next segment is, let's get that out of the way now. Public consensus, Fornball has no idea what's coming up on the show. I'll look at the rundown after we're done with this segment. I live my life one segment at a time. Like Dominic Toretta.
Okay. It's opening.
You don't know that reference?
Dominic Toretta? I don't know Dominic Toretta.
You've never
that?
Seen Fast and the Furious? He lives his life a quarter mile at a time.
Oh, okay. There you go. I live my life a quarter mile at a time. I take it Dominic Toretta was Vin Diesel. Is that right?
Correct.
I have not been, I've really only seen one of the entire series.
Yeah,
and it was
you've seen them all.
And it was Tokyo Drift.
That's a good one, surprisingly. Han's a very popular character.
It's opening day of Major League Baseball, and there is more to the 2024 season than just Shohei Ohtani. It's next, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Rangers, for the first time ever, are World Series champs.
I'm not going to say I don't care how they pitch. I just think they're going to out-hit whatever they do. And that's why I got the Rangers winning the American League West, despite Seattle being really good, despite Houston being really good. This offense is going to be devastating.
I love the way the Cubs play and the fact that Craig Counsell is going to come in. Not that David Ross did anything wrong, but Craig Counsell is a really, really good manager.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. This was my lone knock on the Rangers' run to the World Series, is that, like, Scott Stapp is somehow involved. I don't know.
What is wrong with you, man? You're a Rangers fan. All you've ever wanted is a World Series. You get one, and you still had a problem with it?
No, it's just like I hear that song all the time, and I've never...
Who cares?
Listen.
So you got to listen to Creed a handful of times in order for your team to win a championship. 888-ESPN, who's signing up for that?
Oh, okay, I dealt
everyone,
with it.
Literally right? Everyone will sign up for that.
I already covered this in therapy, thanks.
It Carlin doesn't sound like Joe. It.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. You heard the call of the final out of the World Series. That was the great John Ciambi, a.k.a. Boog. He is on the call tonight of the season opener, the Cubs and Rangers. Coverage beginning at 7 p.m. on ESPN Radio, and he joins us right now. Boog, it's good to hear your pipes again because that means it's baseball season. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you guys doing? This is my favorite day. I love this day.
Let's start there. The team that you do day in and day out, the Cubs, and you've got the Rangers as the defending world champs tonight. Give me a quick synopsis on both these two teams and if, in fact, the Rangers are a team that could be in this position again come October and November.
Yeah, so I think start on the Cubs side. It's not a vastly different Cub team. You know, they changed manager. I thought that they were, you know, my editorial comment would be for a number of teams, there are wins that could be stolen. Like Jordan Montgomery, 1 year, $25 million just sitting out there is, I mean, a 1 year play on a guy. And then effectively what Chapman amounts to is a $20 million 1 year deal. And he's going to give you 2.5 wins just on his defense. So I think some teams missed out on both those guys insofar as those deals were really team friendly. For the Cubs last year, they won one fewer game than the team that ended up getting to the World Series. I think that this division isn't particularly good. They're going to be one of the elite defensive teams. I think the Cubs will be one of the 3 to 5 best defensive teams. You know, two Gold Glovers up the middle, Bellinger defensive versatility. For the Cubs to be really good, they're going to need to get contributions from some of the kids that are not on their opening day roster. So Ben Brown comes up and starts or relieves and impacts. Cade Horton comes up and starts and impacts. Pete Crow Armstrong, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, maybe Canario. That's the group that it would come out of. So for them to really be good. But I still think that if you play as an 84, 85 win team in the Central, you're playing until September as a chance to win the division. On the Rangers side, they're really going to score. I think the lineup, you know, they're going to bludgeon people. It was one of the best offenses in baseball last year. You know, like, look, Boch is great at manipulating a bullpen. Craig Counsell is as well. You know, they rode basically three relievers in the postseason last year. I don't love the pen. I like it. I think that if they're going to legitimately be a threat to win the World Series again, I think that one of the three guys, whether it's Mally, Scherzer, or DeGrom, are going to have to make some type of fairly significant contribution to me and be, you know, ace type guy going towards the playoffs. So that's the way I see it. I think they'll be better defensively. I think they'll be a good team defensively. So I like both these teams. I mean, the Rangers are legit again, and the offense is, it's going to be frightening.
I think most people knew going into last season that the Rangers would be a good team. I don't know how many saw them as a World Series team. The Diamondbacks certainly surprised a lot of people in the National League. If there were one, maybe two potential surprise team this season, who would they be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at this point, it's funny, right? Because you sit there and everybody wants to do, you know, who's going to surprise. And I mean, now that this many teams make the playoffs, I don't know how, you know, how surprised we should necessarily be. I guess if you really wanted to push me on a surprise team, I think Detroit, like I think Scott Harris has them going in a good direction. And that division isn't particularly good. So they have good young players. You know, Skubal now healthy is very good. They got, you know, they've done a good job with their farm system. So I think that they could end up being a pretty good team. I mean, that's the type of thing I think you're looking for. I mean, obviously, you know, it's funny. I was looking at Joe Sheehan, who's a really great writer. I think he's got the Cubs at like 95 wins, and that feels aggressive to me. But I'm here for it if Joe ends up being right. Yeah.
Boog shall be with us. He will have the Cubs and Rangers tonight beginning 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Who's the surprise? I'm sorry, except aside from that, Boog, the Yankees, speaking of surprises, spending the money that they did this offseason and adding Juan Soto, but they lose Cole for the start of the season. Do you expect them to be better or worse? Because it feels like there's a ton of pressure.
It definitely feels like there's a ton of pressure on them. I couldn't believe that they didn't score last year. That was the thing that really surprised me. Now, obviously, they're going to need Aaron Judge to play, you know, after, but it was a pretty pedestrian offense last year, and I think that's what you're not used to seeing. And then again, I think that, you know, the X factor is I've seen Carlos Rodon in both a Giants uniform and a White Sox uniform be absolutely nasty. The Yankees need that version of him when healthy, and clearly for Cole to come back and be Gerrit Cole. So, like, look, there's pressure. I feel like there's pressure every year on the Yankees. So I don't know that they, you know, that they sense or that, you know, feel like the thermometer has significantly gone up, because it's usually pretty hot in the Bronx in terms of, you know, hot seat rating.
Boog, great stuff. We will be there tonight. Cubs, Rangers, 7 p.m. ESPN Radio. Have a great season, man.
All right. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
That's John Shambi right here with Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. It was your Progressive MLB snapshot. Bundle your home and auto and save. Make sure you visit progressive.com. In just moments, it's finally decision time for the four of us. After a mess and a debate, we'll explain next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
A lot of sister kissing last night. A lot of sister kissing indeed. Mm. 2-2, down 2/10. We lost the juice there. We did win the Pistons bet covering against Minnesota. Just absolutely incredible. All right, so here we go. Pizza money number one. We've got a minimum of four for you today. We're going to have each of the Sweet 16 matchups. This one is Illinois on the money line, even money over Iowa State. Number one offense versus the number one defense, according to KenPom. I will take the offense in Illinois. Tight spread, tight game. Difference is going to be free throws. Illinois ranks 82nd in the country in free throws. Iowa State ranks 274th. Ooh. When you have a point spread that's 1.5 and a massive free throw shooting discrepancy in college basketball, you got to take notice. Iowa State's win over Washington State, they shot 50% from the three-point line. I'd expect that to regress. Pizza money number one, Illinois on the money line tonight, even money over Iowa State.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
With the baseball team over or under that you love this season on their win total, we will start on the phones. Joe is in Minnesota, up first on ESPN Radio. Joe, go!
Pains me to say this, but the Twins ain't making their 86.5. They're going under. Last year, they caught lightning in a bottle. I don't see it. You watch them in spring training, they're pathetic. There's no hitting. Their pitching staff is not what it was last year. I would put the house on the under.
I'll make that bet. I'm sold. There's nothing like a fan calling up to tell you to bet the under on his own team. So disgusted in his beloved Twins, he called a national radio show to tell the hosts to bet against them.
Before they have played an inning of real baseball all season.
I think we got our under.
I love the use of the word pathetic. We haven't even gotten out of spring training. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. So yesterday, let's just say we had our logistical issues in arguing what we should go with as a show. We have decided to have an over and an under as a show during the baseball season to play and to root for or against a particular team, one on each side. And we all, four of us, myself, Joe, the handman, Evan Wilner, presented our cases. And here's what we came up with. Joe has the A's at over 57.5. The Royals for Evan over 73.5. Handman had the Reds at 81.5. And Buster made me feel a whole lot better about my pick when Buster only showed up last night with Amber and Ian on the Giants over 83.5.
This winter, they go out and sign Lee, the outfielder from Korea. They sign Blake Snell. They make that big trade for Robbie Ray, the former Cy Young Award winner who's going to be available in the second half. They sign Matt Chapman. They sign Jorge Soler. They get a new manager in Bob Melvin. There is a lot of firepower there. You know, their challenge will be reaching the postseason, because, of course, they're in the same division as the Dodgers, the same division as the defending National League champion, the Diamondbacks. The Padres, I think, are improved. So it's going to be a tough go to come out of the National League West. But I suspect they're a little bit like the Rangers in that they're going to have pitching come back during the year from injury. That's a team to watch.
So I felt pretty good about that. But we have to come to a decision. Where do we stand right now? Let me start with Joseph Fortenbaugh.
I am, by the way, Carlin's a Rangers fan. I'm a Phillies fan. The boys in the back are Yankees fans. Those three teams are off the table for overs and unders. That was one criteria. We're not going to be rooting for or against anyone's personal teams here. Obviously, you know I like the Athletics. I dug into the other three. I'm not opposed to any of them. I said yesterday I liked Evan's pick on the Royals going over. I think they're undervalued. The more I've dug into the Giants, Carlin, I can get behind that pick as well. Handman, the Reds are a hell of a fun baseball team. If I'm riding over on somebody this year and it's them, I can get behind that. So I am not here to push back on anybody, and I'm not going to just bang the drum for my pick with the A's. You guys know where I stand. I can get behind any of the four.
Okay, way to commit. Evan, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm here on the A's and the Giants. I think Buster knows what he's talking about. I was actually working on a project with Jeff Passan earlier this week where I did some research on the Giants as well. They had a hell of an offseason. They did a lot of spending to improve their biggest needs, and I think Bob Melvin's a really good manager that's going to improve that team. So I get behind any of the Bay Area teams.
Handman, what say you?
I kind of like them all, to be honest with you. I think that if we go to the Giants,
Well, we're
though,
really getting to a resolution here, aren't we?
But I'm just going to say, we have to get to a higher number for the Giants. Now, granted, they're a better baseball team than the A's, but it's still 83.5. I don't know.
The fact that both Passan and Buster only like the Giants, that's not enough to put us over the top on the Giants?
Here's what I think the most fun thing for us to do, for us to become the official show of the Oakland A's, the one team that no one cares about, the one team that is basically playing in a graveyard.
The rescue
of a baseball
dog.
Stadium.
The rescue dog.
Yeah.
We're going to take the rescue dog as our team. I can get behind that. I had nothing but rescues.
Here's what I want. I want raccoons running out on the field as we're trying to get a late inning rally going for the Oakland Athletics.
You'll get that at the Collie. That's a regular thing. If you don't see a raccoon running out onto the field at the Collie, that's when you know there's a problem.
Okay. What do we think? Ev, you're good with the A's?
A's. We're doing the A's over 57.5.
I'm on board.
I'm locking this in. We're going out to a real nice dinner if we end up hitting here. And if we lose like normal, it'll be on me. No one needs to shed any tears there.
Handman.
Yeah, Mark Kotze, we trust.
All right.
Kotze, all right.
A's over 57.5, the official team of Carlin versus Joe for the over. What about?
Great over. We could start 1-18 here. I just want everyone to be aware of that. This is not going to be a situation where the A's open up 40-15 and we're all drinking champagne.
No, we're doing this for the bit. That's what we're doing.
This is coming down to game 162. We are going to have an entire Friday show where we should be talking about the NFL. That will be 3 hours of A's baseball, breaking down whoever the hell the last game of the season is against. Probably like the Mariners in Seattle. 4,000 people because the Mariners end up disappointing everyone again.
October 30th, eighth inning. Sitting on 57 wins.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep.
All right. The under. The under, we had Handman on the Astros under 92.5.
Jesus, Handman. I don't know if I want to be doing that.
Joe had the under on the Orioles at 90.5.
I don't think any of you are comfortable with that.
Evan abstained because apparently we're doing this in Congress. I mean, abstained, whatever. We then took Joe and Minnesota's play in place of Evan's abstainment. So that is officially Twins under 86.5 because Joe is calling them pathetic before they've played an inning. And I had the Cardinals under 85.5 out of spite toward the morning show because Michelle Smallman is a huge Cardinals fan, and while we all agree she's about the nicest person on the planet, I want to do everything we can to work against the morning show.
What's interesting here is that the analysis for all the overpicks, very sound, very well reasoned, run by people like Passan and Olney. The under selections, complete recklessness. No actual rhyme or reason to any of this. One guy bails out, one guy calls in and just hates his team. I'm going against America's team in the Orioles. Handman wants to go against the Astros, who have won 100 games 50 years in a row, and you're spiting the Cardinals. Like, there is nothing here. This is the complete opposite of the overbet.
Okay, so, Ev, where are you here? We've got a little over a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 seconds.
Yep. I've narrowed it down to the Twins and the Cardinals. I saw the Twins playing. I saw these two teams play each other in spring training. Not a great spring training game. Twins or Cardinals, I could go either way.
Okay, way to manage the clock.
Why did you tell us about the spring training game if you had nothing from the spring training game with which to relax?
Because I forgot about that spring training game and what happened.
Handman, just name the team. Who you got?
I like my Astros. They only won 90 last year. I think they're being overpriced here, quite frankly.
Joe?
I kind of want to go with the Twins just because of the caller.
I'm on board with
I'm willing
the
to defer just because of the caller, but I actually like the Twins.
You had a chance to talk. You said something else, and then you jumped back in to interrupt
us. No, I like the Twins. Sorry. Let me.
But you didn't say that.
I like the Twins to go over. So, like, I don't like the under bet.
So, do you care to abstain from this?
Sure. I'm not putting any on it.
This is a classic situation where we should not be making this bet. We are completely disorganized here. Maybe we have our over, and we continue to reassess, and at the end of the show, we come up with the under.
It was just supposed to be an over when we came up with this.
Handman, that's quite enough. That's quite enough.
I mean, you talk about the gang that can't shoot straight.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't come up with a consensus on an under because of an abstainment and because Handman likes the Twins to go over.
It's a guaranteed loser.
Oh.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.